Chapter 15. Jack 3. Jack Sun-Sun Volano, truthless of Shinovar, did not sneak when he entered Arvin's palace. If the idiot king wanted to hide the fact that he had a Shin slave, he should have given an order to that effect. It was as if Jack could feel the blood dripping from his fingers. During 10 years as a truthless, Jack had rarely been ordered to commit such a massacre. Talshech Devar might have been young for a house leader, but he was extremely fertile. 13 children had borne his name, 6 sons, 7 daughters, 8 of them beneath the age of the Charin. Talshech was a father no more, nor a husband. Jack had done his work well. He always did. Though he had no will of his own, he bore the shame and the sin of the murders. That was the conundrum of his punishment. Surprisingly, Arvin's guards let him pass without resistance. He wondered how the idiot king had found a way to give them orders without revealing his true nature. The rooms beyond looked different in the daylight. One would never have been able to tell from the lavish furnishings what little regard the people had for their supposedly imbecilic king. The Vaiden were fond of symbols that portrayed their martial accomplishment. Tapestries bearing glyphs of heraldry were favored over paintings, and colorful shields hung from many of the doors. Suits of armor, not shard plate but crafted to imitate it, stood as sentries at corners and in alcoves. Arvin's audience chamber was a grand room with massive squarish columns, decorated with shields, spears, and imitation shard blades. Red and white, the hereditary symbols of old Vaidenar, were the favored colors. Interestingly, it appeared as if Arvin held court in his chamber, though the room was very poorly attended. From his previous scoutings, Jack knew that the king's whims held very little authority. Early in his career, Arvin had signed a document requiring all royal edicts be authorized by the puppeteer before becoming law. The puppeteer, however, needed no signature from the king to make most proclamations. Considering such, it was rather amusing that there was anyone in the room besides the guards. The idiot king sat on his throne, which was crafted completely from black steel. In Shinovar, the seat of such an important man would have been lined with gold or silver, a sign of wealth and favor from the Shinalakata. To the heathens of the East, however, gold had no more value than steel. All metals were the same when one used the sacred arts with such impunity. The minstrel speaking with Arvin was far more interesting than the king himself. The minstrel was female, of course. Eastern noblemen considered singing a feminine art. Men could sing if they wished, but only women could do it for an audience. She was of middle age, probably married to a lesser nobleman who relied on her earnings to support him. A woman beautiful of voice was often as much in demand among the Kanaran nobility as one skilled at politics.
"He asked for the ballad of the Eastern Seas, my lord," the minstrel said.
She was draped in a very long sen coat with an enveloping pink shirt underneath, clothing that might have been considered scandalous up north in the more prudish kingdoms of Alethkar and Prelir.
"Followed by the Song of Naket."
"The Song of Naket," Arvin said with a smile. "I like that one."
"Yes, my lord," the minstrel said. "Lord Rinat is fond of it as well."
Jack frowned, standing in the shadows of a column, trying not to touch any more stone than he had to. What was Arvin's game? He was deaf. What knowledge did he have of ballads or songs? Indeed, what need had he of minstrels? Perhaps it was simply part of his act as a fool. Jack had not discovered the idiot king's lack of hearing before attempting the assassination, and Jack liked to think that his information-gathering abilities were respectable, even though Easterners were generally distrustful of his people. Whatever the reason, the minstrel's report continued for a time longer. Once completed, Arvin nodded for one of his servants to give her a couple of gemstones and usher her out. Jack watched with interest, trying to catch hints of Avin's true intelligence behind the mask. Though Jack had little respect for Eastern heathens in general, this king's mastery of his own image was impressive. Everything from his expressions to his slumped, not quite right posture gave an air of mental deficiency. Coupled with the slurred voice, even Jack was unable to sense the competence hidden behind those dull eyes.
"What's next?"
Avin asked his steward.
"Your audiences are finished, my lord," the stumpy man replied.
"They are?"
Avin asked, looking sorrowful.
"Yes, your majesty. Perhaps you should return to your rooms and rest. You have had a full day. Look, see? Your Shin minstrel has arrived."
"Yes,"
Avin said, nodding.
"I am tired. I will return to my rooms."
Jack raised an eyebrow, impressed again. Avin's reactions were simple without sounding inane. He played his part well. "This man is truthless," Jack reminded himself, rubbing his fingers together. "Truthless and heartless. Avin might be a fine actor, but beneath his mask he is a murderer like the rest, and a lazy one." How easy it was to order the slaughter of a family when one could sit comfortably in one's palace, listening to minstrels while children died.
"You did as I asked."
The idiot king stood at the far side of his sitting room beside a large wooden cabinet.
"You did not ask," Jack said simply.
Avin smiled, watching the movement of Jack's lips.
"No, I did not." "Davar's family is dead, then?"
"Yes,"
Jack said, his voice reserved, though tone would be lost on this man. Avin nodded, turning toward the cabinet. He pulled it open, revealing birds. Jack paused in amazement regarding the three metal cages. Two were empty, but one contained a small flock of bright yellow Shin songbirds. They were beautiful, though their cheeps haunted him. They were reminders of a place that seemed more distant with each fresh assassination. Avin opened the rightmost cage, reached in, and allowed one of the birds to hop onto his finger. Then he brought it out and shut the cage. The idiot king turned, the songbird resting on his finger and warbling with a light voice.
"What was the reaction in Windhollow?"
Avin asked, glancing toward Jack's face. Jack shook his head.
"Tal Shekh will come for you," he said. "The rumors say he believes that the puppeteer was behind the assassination. He is already gathering his forces."
"Indeed,"
Avin said, glancing down at the bird. Avin frowned. There had been a time when House Vadenel had been the most powerful of the three, a time when it had ruled the entire kingdom, its house leader more an emperor than a king. That time had passed long ago. Now House Vadenel was suffered more than obeyed. It was the weakest of the three, and that weakness had grown even worse since the death of Avin's father.
"House Vadenel has no army," Jack said,
Avin's eyes flickering up at the movement of his lips.
"You barely have what could be called a militia. House Devar is the most powerful of the three. Tal Shekh will gather a considerable force."
"Indeed,"
Avin repeated. He looked back down at his songbird, reaching out and scratching its head. The small creature proffered its head eagerly, rubbing against his scratching finger.
"Tal Shekh Devar has wanted to take the throne for some time. Only fears for his family kept him back. His wife worried that war would open the children to assassination."
"So you remove the source of his hesitance?"
Avin nodded.
"Even if he hadn't suspected my dear Chancellor of State, Tal Shekh would have gathered his army. He wants my head nearly as much as your former master did, though for different reasons. He considers my deficiencies an embarrassment to the proud Vedan heritage.
Jack's frown deepened. Not an idiot, but perhaps a madman. Oven continued to scratch the bird's head.
I cannot hear them, you know,
he eventually said.
I've often wished to. My hearing went when I was a small child. I sometimes think that I can remember what it was like. The songs. The pure voice of my sister. Perhaps it is simply a fabrication. But the memory is there.
Jack opened his mouth to reply, but Avan was too fascinated by the songbird to look up.
He trusts me so implicitly,
the king said, as the bird ruffled its feathers, then rubbed its head against his finger for more scratching.
I raised them all, you know. My keepers considered it a good waste of time for their dear child of a king.
Avan continued to scratch, then reached over with his other hand and lightly snapped the bird's neck. Jack blinked in surprise as Avan set the corpse aside, resting it on a nearby table.
Come,
the idiot king said.
I have other tasks for you to perform.
Jack remained where he was as the king walked away, looking down at the dead creature.
So that is it, he thought to himself. Avan is not a man who kills for revenge, or even to advance himself. He kills because he wishes to prove how powerful he is. Not a madman or an idiot. Just a simple thug.
Jack shook his head, turning to do as he had been ordered.